Thank you. Mr. Manconi, would you like to now say a few words?
Thank you, Chair, members of Transit Commission. I want to start off with your permission, Chair. I do need to thank five groups that have been instrumental, and I know I normally don't do this, but I'd like to take the liberty to do that. I want to thank Jocelyn, Pat, and Troy, who are my members of my executive team, and also Jim Hopkins, Kim, Michael, and Jim Greer, who are not here. I've been getting a lot of thanks, but the thanks goes to them. They're the ones that have put all of these plans together for you and for the public. The second group is our staff, that thousands of them working 24/7, giving up weekends, holidays, birthdays, special events, and so forth to deliver for our community. The third group is these are not in order; they're all equal. The union leadership team, none of what you've been seeing would have been possible without the support of those presidents. They've been phenomenal. Our customers and the public that have been patient, and lastly, I can't believe I'm about to say what I'm going to say, but the media groups, they have held us to account. I've said it at every scrum, and they have been very, very fair, with the exception of the Mumbai comparison that I saw last night. But the rest has been all very, very fair and reasonable, and so they're doing what they need to do. So I want to thank everybody because. It's been a concerted effort. So I'd like to start off my presentation with a reminder, and I've been saying it over and over again, I will continue to say it. You have just delivered the biggest infrastructure project in the history of the city. It is the most significant change to transit services across all of the services that you provide in this portfolio in our history. It is your biggest investment in transit ever. 325,000 customer trips are done every single day. 80% of them are impacted by the changes that you've seen, and we have even more coming in October. And that's a reminder. If four people complain on Twitter, that's, you got to put all this stuff into perspective. Busiest LRT in North America. We are getting worldwide coverage of this project. And the first BRT to LRT conversion in the world. I say that not from a bragging perspective. There is no playbook for this. You have just written it and executed on it. So those are reminders to put everything in perspective. That is one of my favorite shots, by the way, the over the Rideau River. It's just stunning, and I encourage you to take a ride there and watch the leaves change as we go through the seasons. It's just beautiful. So I'm going to start with the launch event. Many of you, I believe everybody on this committee were there, on this commission were there. Dignitaries powering up. You'll see a common theme. It's all about the customer, right? This service is for them, paid by them, used by them. We had great partners, great connections in terms of the community. Our great staff that we're handing out. I had someone ask me, where do they buy those bags yesterday? So lots of uplift on that. So let's talk about Saturday. Saturday, the service started. We had hundreds of customers lined up to get into the stations. The community celebrations, great reviews over that. Very positive mix of customers rode the train throughout the weekend, all ages, families, bikes, strollers, mobility devices, and so forth. And you can see the enthusiasm in our customers in terms of what they're seeing. People have gone the extra mile to be part of this historic moment. I think everybody knows Lucky Ron. He was performing at one of the stations. And great shots of people using our systems and being one of the most accessible system in North America as we speak. Multimodal, you invested in all sorts of things to make this truly accessible for all, available for all, irrespective of the modes that they choose to use. Monday, there's your value proposition. You could be stuck in that traffic, or you could be in this beautiful train riding the rails in. Bus to rail connections. I will be talking about Tunney's and Blair in a moment. People moving through, doing their transfers. Morning commutes, seamless from bus to rail, rail to bus. There's some adjustments that I'm going to be talking about in a moment. Our great volunteers doing everything from helping people to people wanting selfies for their own use and so forth. Great shot of the service and our volunteers in action. Our famous escalators. We've had minor issues with the escalators. I've sent you a note. Those are all about the adjustments. None of this infrastructure is breaking down. It's all about the breaking in period. We do have a technician at Rideau stationed full-time to answer escalator elevator responses, and we have floaters throughout the system to respond. Had a few people stuck in escalators. I know somebody was tweeting out this morning. No injuries, nothing like that. It's all part of the growing pains. Saturday and Sunday, very successful launch. It was a very busy day for many customers riding and exploring. It was fascinating to see. I was out there on Sunday, and people were using the 90-minute transfer window to go out and look at things and family passes and so forth. So it was very good. No serious incidents or delays. Minor issues with the escalators and elevators I noted, including somebody dropping some blueberries that I know Councillor Hubley saw onto one of the escalators. And minor interruption with the video chat function on the ticket machines, restored with under an hour. Monday, launch was on time and ran without incident delays. We had an 8-minute service delay. That electric rail operator restored that service in record time, and I personally, and I know Mr. Charter, thanked her. She did an amazing job. Brand new railroad, full loads, peak, 8 minutes to do what she did in terms of reset in the vehicle, and got into full service. We're monitoring the connections, as I've said. There is that period of adjustments for all our customers, and our support plan will continue for everyone. So we are continuing with the ambassadors. The parallel bus service continues till October 5th. There is the service change on October 6th, which is the next key date. We're tracking all of your ideas and feedbacks, and I have to say that the criticism that if the limited criticism I've received, the emails and the texts start with, I want to say it's a great project, and I want to say that the train ride was great. I have some adjustments that I'd like you to consider. That's come from customers, residents, groups, stakeholders, and so forth, and yourselves. It's all being put into a database, and we're looking at all sorts of ideas and suggestions. And also, we don't want to inundate our customers. You know, people are asking, why is the escalator only go in the up position, not the down? Why do you have one versus two? Why are there 18 at Rideau Center? So it's going to be the next wave of information. So we're tracking all that. So Tunney's and Blair bus transfer, I think that's the area that we've seen the most feedback. I've been there just about every single day. We are doing adjustments. We are helping people establish their patterns. All of what you're seeing is, if you go back to the many presentations, the journey mapping, the customer focus groups, everyone said, we're not concerned about bus to rail in the morning. It's when I get back from rail to bus, will my bus be waiting for me? And it doesn't matter how many times we remind them, you're going to have a change. Change is difficult in patterns. And so we're getting into that set it and forget it mode. I was observing a lot of people yesterday. It was day two of their commute. They now know where to walk. They know how many steps it is to their platform. And we're pushing back on some of it. You know, I had one resident saying, well, I don't like where the Barrhaven buses are all aligned because it's all planned out. We didn't make this stuff up. Can you flip the Barrhaven buses and let the people from downtown, Councillor McKinney, walk further rather than the Barrhaven folks and the Kanata folks? That's not how it works. There is logic to those platforms, and you're going to hear in a minute, Pat is looking at all that those logistics and are there tweaks and spacing we can do and so forth. So it is, while I pushed back, I sympathize with that individual because I know what he's thinking. When you watch Tunney in particular, they're doing that long, circuitous walk to the back, and they're probably going, what's going to happen in the middle of winter? Am I going to have to trudge through snowbanks? Is it going to be clear? We are on top of all of those issues. We walk the footsteps of the customers. So when we're out observing, I know Councillor Leeper and Chair Hubley saw us the other day, we're not just out there to be visible, we're out there to watch and observe. And great team here, Pat and the team, we're doing drone footage. We're videotaping those bus transfers, and we're looking at every little piece. I'm going to show you a little video of what somebody from the public sent in. Pat's got drone video occurred last night and it's going to occur today. I do want to remind you, though, and I know there's a lot that's been thrown at you in the last 10 years. Tunney's and Blair are temporary transfer stations. When you open up stage two, those become flow-throughs. Herdman, have you heard anything about Herdman? Nothing. That's a more permanent transfer station. Tunney's and Blair were constricted by the space and the logistics of what you're going to do when you open up stage two. So for the East End folks, that gets cleared up. That'll just be a normal flow-through station. Same with Tunney's. When you open up stage two, it gets pushed out. And the further west and east you get, the less transfers you get, and it's not as intense. Herdman is a full-scale transfer station. And remember, all of these, they're next to Chicago. You've got the highest volume of bus to rail transfers. There are no technical issues that are broken in the system at those transfer points. We had one issue yesterday, I think, Chair Hubley, you witnessed it. Within minutes, the supervisor called in the extra bus and cleared the platform. The platforms are a bit tight at Blair and Herdman. We were restricted with space, with the property acquisitions and so forth. It's not a design flaw. It can work, it can function. We're putting out extra supervisors there, not the red vests, the yellow vests as supervisors, because that helps with crowd control like Canada Day and so forth. We're doing the drone footage. We have some tweaks and signage. Very straightforward signage. When you get out of Tunney's, it's going to say Barhaven, Canada to the right, the remainder's to the left. So those are some of the things we're doing, and we're also incorporating some of the suggestions. So I want to show you, I just need the technician to pop up a short, very short video of Tunney's, and then I want to wrap up with Tuesday, and then we'll go to questions. So this is a short time lapse. There's a longer version also of Tunney's. One of the complaints is those people that come out and turn right and do that curve movement, pedestrian movements, if you have to go to that far bus stop at the end, it's a bit of a walk. There's not much we can do about that. Somebody said build a bridge, get rid of the buses in the middle. It doesn't work that way. There's a whole science and an engineering process to this thing. I wanted you to see this. There's no holdups on the buses. Some minor adjustments to operators, making sure you pull up right to the platform. We do have extra, not a lot, a few extra buses at Tunney's and Blair, which resulted, you know, I know Councillor Harder had five canceled routes on Monday that shouldn't have occurred. Yesterday she had none. I think this morning we had one. So, and I believe we had one in Canada too. So operationally, the platform is working well. I now want to finish off with Tuesday. I sent you a note last night. Things went very well on the rail service. Short delay in the afternoon rush hour. Those things are going to happen. There was a train issue at one of the stations. We went to what's called single track operations. One of the lessons learned yesterday is Pat and his customer service team were making the messages to customers a bit too complicated. We're going to simplify those a bit. We're also confirming that the operators in the cabs of the vehicles are using the pre-canned messages and also getting on the microphone and saying expect some delays. Learning moment for us, and we tried to push that message out. Even once you clear up a delayed or a train that's held, there's just like a highway, there's that residual flow through, the catch-up mode. And so the incident, I think, happened around 1:25, which is a good time to have it if you're going to have one. It was by peak. We still had a little bit residual flow in the rail system. But again, a learning moment. We're clearing up some of the customer-facing messages. We had an error on one of the tweets. We corrected that later on, and so forth. But these are all things that you go through. So we're learning about that. I would describe day two, all of us, as a very solid day. These are minor issues on such a massive launch, and change to every single aspect of your operation. October 6th, big, big changes, your big investments come through, and I think what's been lost in some of this is, don't forget, you peel back all those downtown buses, you're then increasing your reliability to all the feeder routes going to these stations, and the core becomes a different place. So there's still really good things coming, all minor adjustments. I will say it again, please thank the staff. They've done phenomenal work. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That concludes my presentation. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Manconi, and we look forward to years of excellent service from the new system. I want to also highlight that, as I know Councillor Tierney and myself and other, and Councillor Gower, we were out there together for a while, and Councillor Cloutier, there was a lot of the Transit Commission members that took the opportunity to actually go up and talk to the staff to hear what the feedback they're receiving on the ground is, and I couldn't get over what a great idea it was to have all those red vest folks out there, and as you mentioned, some of them are volunteers. Some of us around the table recognize them as City Hall employees and so on, and I think they were having a lot of fun out there. The ones I was talking to really enjoyed it, so can't thank you enough. If there's any questions, please let me know. I know Councillor Tierney.
Great. First of all, congratulations, John, your entire team. I think there's even some other members of the team that have gone out of their way to ensure we understand light rail better, like Ken Woods. He's been doing a tremendous job on Twitter. Bravo to him. But I do have a couple of quick questions. First of all, yes, I was out at the platforms on Saturday, and there's always growing pains. Things are a little bit different at times. We noticed a couple of local routes where there seemed to be confusion on where the drop-off zone was, because the local routes for the 224-24 right now in my neck of the woods, sometimes they were dropping them off. It would require, if you had accessibility issues, you'd have to go up the stairs or elevator, cross the tunnel, and come right back down, whereas other operators were dropping off right at the door, and they could take two or three steps or get off and get right onto the train, which seems more appropriate. Are those the kind of operational issues that Pat will be looking at and trying to repair, or ensuring that it's consistent across all operators?
Yes, we will. I'd be happy to talk to you about the specifics.
Okay, and on that specific instance, because in the past, if you're familiar with the East End, there used to be a gaping hole where people could cross, which was not safe. They've welded the fence in. There's no way to get across those lanes at all anymore, so you are truly forced to go up and over. Do we see the 224-24 operation letting people off at the closest door to light rail, or is there some kind of situation that won't allow that to happen?
I don't have that detail for you. I can say that our operations are set up to drop off as many customers as we can inside the fare paid area so that they don't have to go through the fare gate, but that we also have to make sure we don't overload the south platform to the point that it delays other customers. But I'll be happy to talk to you and investigate what you've heard and what you've seen.
Okay, I'd appreciate that, because I noticed some operators are actually bang on, they're dropping off right at that door, and not to beat this one too bad, but it is probably the number one email I'm getting, and John's quite correct. It starts with, it's a great system, but now I got to walk up, three flights of stairs, cross a bridge, and go back down, but yesterday they dropped me off at the door. So I think it's just more about consistency and training, and I can work with you on that, Pat. I also have the ultimate question. 3 weeks after, is it 3 weeks after the Saturday date when we launch light rail that the ramp will be opening, John, or is there a specific, it's my favorite question because my neighborhood is very excited for that 417-174 ramp to open. What day is that?
So it's a question of getting a firm date by MTO. They've been very good. I believe there's an upcoming meeting that the East End councillors have asked for specifically to that ramp. You know me with dates. When I know they can hit it out of the park, I'll give you the date. And I've been very strategic with Phil to say, make sure we triple check everything and everything's ready to go. The logistics, there's a fair number of logistics to do that. It's close.
Great. So I'll anticipate, and we do have an upcoming meeting with the East End councillors. I know Steve and Laura and Matt were all very excited about that, to alleviate that traffic situation on Ogilvie Road, Montreal Road, and certainly Innes Road. So I'll be following that closely. I'm anticipating it's either going to be the 5th, 6th, or 7th, I'm hoping. The sooner we can figure that out, the better, so we can get that message out, because it is going to change the traffic patterns in the east end of the city for sure. I did have a question from a constituent, and this might be something I did send to Pat, and I sent to you as well, looking for feedback, and I do have the constituent in the crowd today. The Route 24 Beacon Hill, on weekends after 8:12 p.m., it seems that there's no service from Saint Laurent to Blair, and I'm not quite sure what's really going on there. It's been like this for a while now, and I just want to ensure that it's corrected. And I typically want to ask in this form because it seems like a single issue, but the constituent feels it's his mode of transportation, and without access to that route, it seems to be a problem. And I don't remember ever that route not continuing past 8:12 p.m. So is that something that could be looked at?
Yes, absolutely. We will look at that, and we'll get back to you.
That's great. There was a story very recently that I noticed reporter John Willing put out. This is a bit of an aside related to Metrolinx and the Presto Pass and the fact that their minimum load values are only 5 cents now. Can you please explain, since we're part of this great Metrolinx system, does this apply to us? Will it apply to us? And what will the minimum load be?
Yes, the minimum load is 5 cents. So it means that people can buy a Presto card without being required to put $10 on the card when they buy a fresh card.
Okay, so right now if you go on, it says still says $10 within the app. So is this effective right now, or is this something coming in the future for Ottawa?
It's coming in the future. It's a decision that was made by the Presto Governance Committee, which includes us, and we're asking Metrolinx now to implement that decision.
So do we have any ballpark idea? I know we hate timelines, but our riders really want to know timelines. Is there any idea of timelines on that minimum load changing?
I can find out and let you know.
Okay, thank you very much.
Just on that, Chair, I'll ask Pat to get Metrolinx to send us something in writing with the date. How's that?
I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Attorney. Commissioner Wright-Gilbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mine's more of a comment and just one question. So John knows I actually emailed him on Monday after my morning commute. I actually commute from the Plaster and Lanes Park and Ride to Tunney's Pasture every single day and back for work. And congratulations, it is a fantastic commute for me. I think I said I was super relaxed, which never happens. And I'm actually saving 30 minutes a day on my commute, which is huge, having not having to wait for a bus at Tunney's Pasture for 30 minutes, which is relatively pleasant in the summer, not so much in the winter time. I do have one question, though, and I'll pose it with a caveat that my route home is actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I was concerned about the Blair connection, because obviously I get off the train at Blair and have to hop a bus. I personally have not had to wait any more than 10 minutes for a bus at Blair. What I will say, though, is I do have some safety concerns when it comes to the Blair platform, and I know that your team is looking at the drone footage and whatnot. On day one, it was chaos, essentially, but again, it's people getting used to it, and I understand that. But people, because of the number of people that were on that platform waiting for buses, but not only waiting for buses, but the buses unloading so close to stop D going east, there was this influx of people coming off the buses going up to the train station, right? And then there was also this massive amount of humans on the platform. What was happening is that people who were trying to get from one end of the platform to the other to catch their buses, it always happens, your bus never comes right in front of you, people were actually walking on the roadway, which I have to say, I think you noticed, because on Tuesday when I was there last night, there were special constables there, themselves standing on the roadway. I'm slightly concerned about that, but to ensure that people were not making that move. So I was glad to see that, and thank you for responding to that. However, and it's a suggestion, and I'm sure you've gotten a million of them, I do think that if the buses that are unloading, that are going westbound and stopping at Blair, that are unloading just slightly further back of that, you know, on the side where the train is, it would alleviate some of the human pressure on that platform that is incredibly crowded. But other than that, I do have to say it is an incredibly pleasant ride to and from work. And it has been seamless. And you're right, I'm now in just automatic mode. I get on the bus, I get off the bus, I get on the train, I'm at work. So it is incredibly, it is a good system. I just do have some safety concerns regarding Blair.
I understand, and that's all part of the plan. We observed the same things you did. What I want to reiterate is all of the elements are being looked at. You'd be surprised how many people are still tapping within the paid fare zone on buses. So today we're issuing no need to tap, load and go. It's both doors. Some people aren't using the rear door boarding. We saw that the first day, I think the second day. So it's all of those little steps that everybody takes to get their routine established, because if 100 people are boarding a bus and they're all tapping, that adds up. It's a delay. So it's all of those parts. And yes, we don't want people walking on that platform. And we have a lot of experience on crowd control. We move 100,000 people out after Canada Day fireworks. So we're taking some of that experience and applying it to that. So we're looking at all those things.
Thank you. Commissioner Olson, and then Councillor Brockington.
Mr. Manconi, thank you for the presentation, and congratulations as well. Your team has done, you and your team have done a great job in delivering this, and it's going to be for all of us, it's going to be a tremendous journey, if I can put it that way. I just wanted to understand a little better about Tunney's. I understand it is a temporary transfer station, and I just want to understand, so if someone, I come from Kanata as well, but if someone from Kanata says to me, yeah, it's great, but I don't understand why the Barrhaven and Kanata customers go so much further away. Yeah, I kind of understand they're getting closer to Kanata that way, so there's an element of progress. But what do I say? Is there an operational sort of consideration, or what operational considerations were there in sort of putting them at the back, if I can put it that way?
I'll ask Pat to give a brief summary, but what I think might be also helpful is he can put together a written document for all of you to understand Tunney's in terms of the logistics on that. It won't be today. He's swamped with a million things. But Pat, just give a quick overview as to the logistics as to how you made those decisions on bus placements and the algorithm behind all that.
Sure, Mr. Chair. There was there's a lot of history, a lot of analysis, a lot of engineering and operational design for how Tunney's Pasture is laid out and how it is set up to operate. The first is that, as you can see, the bus platform is immediately adjacent to the train, to the access to the train platforms, and our teams who were involved in the design and engineering were able to secure that property from the federal government so that we could use it for the next few years until Stage 2 opens, and laid out that whole bus platform, bus turning area, bus staging area, and all the service functions that are related within the space that was available. You can see when you're there that we're using all the space right up to the curb on the east side, right up to the curb on the north side, and right up and beyond where previous roadways were on the west side. We've taken all that space in order to be able to fit and balance the space that's required for buses to drive through the station safely, turn around and face the other direction, stop in the middle and wait for the next trip, and for all the very complex traffic operations that take place at the west end of the station where the station connects with the transitway and also with Scott Street. And then the platform space that is a large open sea around the bus operating area has been stretched out as far as it can be and as deep as it can be within the space available, so that we can have customer groups waiting separately. We don't have the what we're familiar with at Metcalf and at Place de Ville and at Bank Street in the afternoon, where everyone's waiting for all buses at the same stop. There are six different zones, three major zones, each of which has two groups of bus stops within those zones, so that the Kanata routes are together, the Barrhaven routes are together, and the inner area local routes are together. And then we say this group is for the rush hour buses, this area is for the all-day buses. And that helps to divide the stream in two as people come out of the station. Some people are going to the left, some or straight, some people are going to the right. And we needed to make sure that you know, the customer functions and the operational functions are spread out so that there's not choke points and that there's not excessive activity happening at one location. And then all of that was modeled, first of all, on computers, which model the operation of buses, the circulation of buses through any space, the circulation of customers. You might recall back in the winter, we ran a number of tests on a little snowy winter morning to make sure that all the buses would circulate properly, that there was enough time for people to get on and off. And we made some adjustments following the computer simulation. We made some adjustments following the physical simulation. We've now put those operations into practice. We put the new bus arrangements at that station into effect a week ahead of the train opening. Customers had some ability, and our operators had some ability to feel the new motions, to make them familiar. We opened the train on Saturday, and some people are making some adaptations. We saw the first full rush hour 2 days ago in the afternoon as people are starting to flow home and to go through that transition that we've been talking about for so many years. We're making observations every day. We're looking for things that we can, if we can change something here, change something there, that lessens any pressure or inconvenience for anybody. But also remembering that coming up in just 2.5 weeks, we've got a major bus route change, which changes the way that customers will be flowing through that station and changes the way the buses will be operating through the station. All of those things are going on, and it's all set up at Tunney's Pasture Station so that it doesn't need to change very much as we go into construction of Stage 2. Stage 2 will replace the transitway west of there, but the station doesn't need to change. Those buses will flow in from the alternate routes that are developed through the Stage 2 project. And then, of course, when Stage 2 opens in a few years, all of those bus connections from Barrhaven will be taking place at Baseline. All of those bus connections from Kanata and Stittsville will be taking place at Moody. And many, many of those bus connections that are happening to other routes west of Holland Avenue are happening at stations like Cleary, New Orchard, Lincoln Fields, Iris, Pinecrest, Bayshore. So with Stage 2, the huge funnel of bus operation and of customer flow that's happening at Tunney's just for the next few years will all be dispersed over a number of stations in the West End.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Brockington.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to Mr. Manconi and staff for the update. I've been the last 3 days in Regina and presenting on behalf of the city at a conference, and we're the talk of the town. We're the talk of the nation. A lot of colleagues, a lot of councillors from across the country are very interested to see the successful unveiling of our LRT and had lots of questions. So I was talking about phase two and the vision for phase three, and they're going to be coming here in January, so hopefully we can get them on the trains. But all this to say, there's definitely interest from other regions in Canada. What are bus volumes like, given that we're doing a parallel run? We haven't hit peak volume on our LRT yet. I assume there are a number of customers who haven't made the transition yet. Do we know what the percentage is right now?
We're doing observations. It's very hard to get scientific data from that, but Pat does have some folks out on the line monitoring some of that, and then our station attendants also. Driving in, I saw a bunch of buses caught up on that delay on the 417. There was four of us looking at it, and it was between a third and less than a third. Still people sitting on buses that I know they could have picked up at Blair because it was eastbound. A reminder, we're going to gently remind everybody October 6th that bus ride is gone, so start taking it. And I tell the story over and over again. I think like Commissioner Wright Billard said, she just gained 30 minutes of her life. I think people at work are starting to have those discussions. I know a few people. I've had personal friends email me saying I just gained 10, 15 minutes, was skeptical, tried it out. And again, all perfectly normal behavior. October 6th, they they're off the buses.
I raise that point because there will be some good bus improvements coming, but also the volume of LRT, we're not at our peak yet. We're going to gain another 30% potentially, on October 7th when people start to go, because they're taking the bus now. So it's busy now, but we have a lot more people who are coming. I've always been concerned with the transition at Bayview Station between O-Train riders on the Trillium line and the Confed riders. How is that going? I was concerned that as O-Train riders get onto Bayview and try and get on a train, that there would not be capacity to absorb them all. Has that been an issue?
The train-to-train connection at Bayview Station is going well. We do have some peak periods where we see large numbers of people getting off, actually, the Confederation Line trains to go to Line 2 trains.
Yep.
And that's sort of some typical volumes that we always see every September with the return of the Carleton University students, and that tends to dissipate a little bit when you get towards the end of the month of September. But we haven't seen any major concerns or major loading issues. But we do know that 8:30 time, yep, for Line 2, that's a really busy time for that line.
I don't mind it being busy, but no one is being left behind. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, good. Mr. Scrimger and I have had some communication back and forth about late Sunday night service from the train station to Herdman. I have residents who are needing to get down the Southern Transitway, and there's not a bus connection that will take people from the train station to Herdman for them to make connections. There was a potential for a shuttle bus. Have we made any progress on this matter?
Mr. Chair, I do know the situation that Councillor Brockman is referring to. This is a late arrival of a VIA train from Toronto that comes in after the last train has run on Line 1, and at a time when we've replaced train service with bus service for overnight. Councillor Brockington's constituent made a good suggestion to improve a connection from the VIA station to the south. We're looking at that, and I don't have the solution in my mind today, but I know that my team's been looking at it, and we're intending to get back to the councillor quite soon with some clear results of our evaluation.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, I'll just ask for you. It would be beneficial for me, and I would suggest for the commission members, if once the dust settles, we toured Tunney's and Blair Station at afternoon rush hour to see how things are working, the flow, the transition, not to dissect and nitpick, but when I have traveled at Tunney's before LRT opened, I had concerns with the layout. I think staff have been quite responsive, but I will leave that with you, that there may be some benefit for the commission to go out there and just observe to see what's working well, but also to see what some of the challenges may be. I keep hearing the word temporary, and what concerns about me, that's 4 years. We're going to have this situation at Tunney's and Blair for 4 years, and I could live with a temporary situation, but what concerns me is the sheer volume of people who go through these transition points, and to not conclude that this is how it's going to be for 4 years and we're not willing to make any other significant changes with the design. Winter is going to be another beast that we don't know yet how that's going to fully function and work for our customers, for passengers. So I leave that with you. I think it would be good if we went out together. I'm going to do it on my own, but I'd rather go out with colleagues. But at that point, I'll just end.
Thank you, Councillor Brockton. Actually, Councillor Gower and myself have been already doing it. Any commissioner can go at any time. Any councillor can go at any time and observe. I would encourage you to try to, as we did, we stood back out of the way because there's a lot of people trying to get on the buses. There's buses coming in continuous. If you would watch the video closely, you would see the movement that it's very well orchestrated, that the buses are just continually moving through there. You'll see a big bunch of people, because let's remember, there could be 600 on a train. You see them come up to a platform, and within minutes they're loading onto a bus and they're on their way. It's really something to actually see for yourself, to take it in. I know Councillor Gower and I talked to a lot of the people that were riding. I had the opportunity to come in on the bus on Monday. I think you've come in several times on the bus. It's been, so far, for the majority of people, a very positive experience. I'll give one side story to it is somebody on the bus on Monday was saying that they were organizing, they work at Tunney's, so they weren't taking the train into the core to go to work, but there was people at Tunney's that were organizing for the first time an opportunity at lunch to go to the Rideau Center, because now they can do that on the train and get there and get back in the time that they have for their lunch break. And before, you couldn't do it. And they say there was a lot of food choices around Tunney, so they're really looking forward to that. There's all kinds of stories. I'm sure each of us have probably been hearing from people some of these stories. Most of it's been very, very positive. One of the things I would encourage people to observe, because we need to pay special attention to this, is anyone with mobility issues, how they're working through the system, because there's a lot of aids there. In the planning, we tried to think of every possible way to make it as smooth as possible. So far, everybody I've talked to, and I'll walk up and see if people want to talk about it right at the station. So far, it's been very positive, but we need to keep that momentum going and make sure, like when we change platforms, for example, how we get that messaging out to people and so on. So welcome your invitation. We're already doing it. I expect, I don't see myself stopping that. I like the idea of getting on the rail. Councillor Cloutier and I actually drove across town on, was it Tuesday afternoon? Yeah, we went across through a number of the stations on Tuesday. We were at Herdman checking how that was working. You know, there's Bayview. I've been at Bayview. I also took the line all the way up to Greenboro to see what people were saying and so on. So it's, as Mr. Manconi said, they're being very responsive to anything that's coming in, anything that's needed. I certainly haven't heard issues of anybody being left behind at the trains. So I think October 6th, we will have that capacity for those folks. What I also anticipate happening on October 6th, and Mr. Manconi, correct me if I'm wrong, but what we saw the last couple of days is some of the buses in the afternoon are close to capacity when they're pulling into Tunney's. There's always another bus coming behind, so we're able to move the folks. But starting October 6th, those will be empty buses that'll be pulling into Tunney's and Blair to pick people up, which should help that whole movement go better. Would that not be a correct assumption here?
Yeah, I'm glad you went there, because to Councillor Brockington, if you want to go out and take a look at it and give us your suggestions or perspective, by all means do that. I would strongly encourage you to take your time to do that. Couple things. The playbook changes on October 6th. What's happening now, and Pat will explain it offline if you need to, is the journey from some of those people from downtown has changed. They used to get on a bus that had a seat. Now they're taking the train and getting to Tunney's and transferring to the bus and going, where's my seat? I talked to a couple people and I said, well, it's because you got to Tunney's quicker and you're saving time on the back end. I would caution you about going out early and thinking that you can find, I'm not suggesting you're doing this, Councillor, but unless you're a transit operations planning expert, with all due respect, you will not understand the algorithm and the interlining that you have now and what's coming October 6th. And what you'll get is what I got last night. A man screaming at me at the top of his lungs about he missed the 87, the 87's in the wrong spot, the 87's in the wrong spot. It flew by me and I said, no, turn around, your bus is right there. And he said, oh yeah, you're right, sorry, I'm a little bit, you know, rattled with the change. Let the system relax. Let it find its equilibrium. Get to October 6th. Implement your $5.1 million investment. Let staff do their thing. I'll tell you right now, I'm not committing our staff to go out and meet with you on the platforms. I don't think you were suggesting that. We do not have that capacity, and I'm going to caution you. You're going to come back with a list of a mile long, and then you're going to come to me, and I'm going to go, no, 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 bad idea, bad idea, bad idea, and then you're going to set yourself up for failure. It is a complicated operation. It's taken me 7 years to even understand a tenth of it, And we have experts from around the world that have planned those. That bus loop was in design mode for years, and it changed 20, 30 times, including where those fare gates are at the far end. So I'm not pushing back. I'm just trying to save yourselves some grief. Go ride the rails, say hello to the residents, take ideas, send them to us. And part of the reason I'm not getting back to you right away is capacity. You got to get through October. Get to the end of October, see where we're at. And you have my commitment, will change. And you're absolutely right, Councillor Brockton. Temporary, yeah, some people aren't going to like it until stage two opens up. What I love is people are saying, when's stage three coming? That's a great problem to have. You have not received one complaint about the rail service. Not one. I have Larry Gall, who helped me, who's done 8 startups in his career, 8 rail startups across the U.S. He's never seen a startup like this one. And those are large-scale operations and extensions he's done. So we're on it. We'll look at it. We'll hear your ideas. You want to go take a look at it and see some things? I'm just trying to be, you know, very cautious about one-offs on that. What's happening right now is changes to people's commute, and we know it's difficult for them. The red vests are there to stay for as long as they need to in terms of the transition and more.
Thank you, Mr. Manconi. And yes, I think you bring up another good point before I go to Mr. Councilor Gower for his question. If commissioners and city councilors could give your team a bit of breathing space here to get through this, we need 3 to 5 days to, as you call it, relax the system. What I'm seeing, I saw yesterday, for example, Monday there was issues with Barrhaven. By yesterday, that was resolved. It seemed to go quite smooth yesterday afternoon for Barrhaven. I also noticed, you know, some people are asking you for all kinds of documents and stuff like that, you know, after close of business and during the launch period. So we need to give you guys a break here if we can, and so I encourage my colleagues to consider doing that. Certainly, Councillor Brockington, you're welcome to join Councillor Gower and I at any time on the platforms, but yeah, please don't ask for staff to attend if possible.
Mr. Chair, both you and Mr. Manconi have prejudged what my intent is, okay? I didn't say I'm going to have a list of 40 items and dissect every little design issue with these transition stations. I think it's high volume. I'd like to see how it flows. I invited colleagues to join me. We're not going to go on some sort of fact-finding mission. I appreciate that a number have gone out there. I've been away the last few days. I'm going to be doing it this week. I just thought there would be a good idea as a commission to go ahead and do it ourselves. But I agree with you that, yes, over the next few weeks, things get ironed out. Things will be changing. But I'm worried about winter operations. I'm worried about people basically out in the environment not being covered. I'm worried about safety when we hear that platforms are full, and I'm thinking about how people are able to move across platforms, and that's sort of my intent of going out to observe, simply to observe. So great. I don't want folks to prejudge what my intent is.
Okay, Councillor Gower.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Some of my questions have been answered. Two quick ones. I'm curious what we're seeing at first 2 days. What are your observations around the peak times at Tunney's and Blair? Because there must be times that are busier than others in the afternoon rush.
They're peaking exactly as we had predicted. So around 5:15, Pat, I think, or around that time is the peak at both those locations. The inbound is much better than the outbound in the afternoon, the PM, because people are getting to their bus connection.
Okay, thank you. And the other question is, I think today is another experience for that we'll have a lot of new people trying the bus with the Seniors Day today. And for the benefit of commissioners and councillors who are getting some questions on this, and maybe to help our friends in the media communicate, can you just clarify what, in terms of the use of a Presto Pass on the system today, what should seniors know about what they'll need to get on the buses and on the trains if they're trying it today or on Sunday?
If seniors have a Presto card, that's they're fine. They tap in, away they go. With the red vest people out there, we are doing extra effort. Anybody that can't get through the gates, we're going to let them through. And then once the red vests disappear, they go to the, if they don't have a Presto card, they press the button on the screen for customer service help. And you say, hi, I'm a senior. I want to get through free on Wednesday or Sunday. And we'll say, do you have a Presto Pass? No. we will buzz you in and they can get in for free. We can do that remotely, there's no issue. But your question's very, very good, because and I'm just sharing how proactive this team has been. We got our first Red Blacks game this weekend. We're putting our customer service reps with a Red Blacks jersey at a gate and saying, come on over here, your ticket gets you in, and away you go, because the automated feature is not there yet, so we buzz them in, and in future, in a couple of months, any ticket that's been ticketed, included with your fare, gets you in through there. So it's seniors, Red Blacks, all those things.
I, building on that, I believe the Sens have their first preseason games this week as well, so the 400 connection series are running as they always have at this point during this transition as well?
Mr. Chair, yes. During the transition period, the 400 series routes are the same. After the October 6th, we'll be providing information to our customers on the new changes that make the 400 series routes easier to use as they make direct connections from line one.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Councillor Cavanaugh, please, and then Councillor Meehan.
Okay. Thank you very much, and congratulations again. It feels like you just gave birth or something. I just feel like that's what we're celebrating, and it is a birth. It's something really big for the community, and it's a big addition to the family, and it's going to be great moving forward. We're all excited about it. It's early days right now, so there's just little things that have to be sorted out, and many of my colleagues have raised those. I really appreciate Councillor Gower talking about Seniors Day, because there has been a lot of confusion. People thought that they couldn't use it if they didn't have a Presto Pass, so we want to encourage them to get out there and enjoy the system. So I appreciate those comments. It's going to be hard to tell how things are going in terms of areas like Bay Ward, in terms of the bus service, because of the overlap, so it's not fair to judge it right now. I'm already hearing that people wait at Tunney's and the bus is full, because obviously people got on downtown. It's the same bus as before. So those things are just not fair to judge at the moment. But I thought it would be important that we have metrics in terms of how many buses were late and missed previously, like for example last winter when we was sort of the peak of problems, and you yourself said so and apologized to many constituents who had experienced problems. I think we really need to compare apples to apples in terms of what was it like last January to next January, and see how I'd like to see those metrics. Are we improving in terms of no more late buses, no more missed buses? That is the thing that is probably the most concern to the residents of Bay Ward, because that's where they experience. It's at the bus stop near their home before they get on to that. And obviously it's way early days, but I think it's really, really important to have those metrics so that we can really see if we're improving as a city. And I do believe you keep track of that, so I mentioned it at FEDCO as well. That's important. We need to see the improvement, and we need to see those numbers. We also need to see the ridership, and obviously we're going to have that as well. I think it's after October 7th is the real test, and I'm really hoping it will be improving, and of course we're really gearing up for stage two as well, and we're going through all of that as well. If you have any comments about putting together metrics, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, just a reminder that, so we do have the data on the challenges we've been having the last couple of years, and we are bringing the framework for the new scorecard for you, which I know Chair Hubley has talked about having a few members of this committee on the working group with us on shaping the standard metrics, but also what other metrics we want to look at, and performance on bus service and rail service will definitely be there. We've done some amazing work. We joined some international groups that do benchmarking of multimodal systems like ours. And so we want to give you, on a regular basis, you'll be having a scorecard that, and we're even thinking about putting it out on octransport.com. That's all coming to you as framework. And then you're absolutely right, Councillor. You'll be able to compare pre-multimodal, post-multimodal on all lenses.
Thank you, and I know that we'll have future conversations after October 6th, but in terms of just tweaking, because I'm already getting comments on the routes that are being proposed that won't quite cover things. For example, we've already talked to Pat about number 11, which will come back, and we're very grateful it's coming back to Bayshore, but there's still interest in having a Sunday morning church bus, you know, i.e. before 10 o'clock in the morning, which there isn't right now. So there already are observations like that. So these are things that will, going forward, we'll take a look at. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Cavanaugh. Councilor Meehan.
Thank you, Chair Hubley. Mr. Manconi, may I add my congratulations to you and your team? I wrote it on Saturday, and if you've been following my Twitter, I've been taking the bus regularly in the last little while to encourage residents in the south end of the city who have never tried transit to get on the train, to get on the bus once or twice a week, and then ultimately use the train. So in that experience, I've been hearing from people who are saying, yeah, I can't wait for stage two. I've been saying a few years, I've been saying 2022, 2023. Can I narrow it down for folks at this point? Is that possible?
Stick with the current timelines and share, I believe if it's not out there, we might be pushing out a tweet soon on your particular ward, the stage two extension of the Trillium Line. The actual rail was being delivered yesterday. So it's just progress. You know, the date's one thing. It's seeing the construction. I'm sure you've been near the Airport Parkway. Those are caissons. Those hold up those stations. Mm-hmm. The whole corridor has been cleared for the Trillium Line. I would encourage you to pick up those photos and tweet those out and just talk about that. And Mr. Morgan is always available to meet with you if you want to do some messaging on the timelines and so forth.
Okay. One of the things I heard this morning is because people are paying attention to the news and they're hearing about some of the glitches, and especially in the afternoon, a lot of people they're reluctant right now to try the train, to try the transfer. Has there been any discussion? I mean, I don't know if that's prevalent across the system. Has there been any discussion maybe that October 6th might be too soon to stop that parallel service? I mean, I know that the way the wheels go, that would be impossible, but we're sticking to that October 6th, right?
We have to. Okay. I mean, in the perfect world, you keep it forever because it's an insurance policy. If the train goes down, it costs you $1 million a week. It was difficult to get that. And we are locked and loaded, ready to go for October 6th.
Okay. One last question. One of the concerns that people have and what they feel is a real problem is some of the express routes are now, the express routes like from Findlay Creek, from Richmond, some of the southern suburbs, there was an express route that went downtown. That's been eliminated, so there's another transfer in there. And people are confused, like, why, if you want us to get downtown faster, why would we add another stop on an express route?
Pat,
let's talk specifically about Findlay Creek, because they're seeing another transfer before they get on the train.
I would encourage you to sit down with Pat. He can cater it to your ward. We've got a memo coming out. Sorry, all the dates are a blur in my head right now. Shortly to all of you, and it will show the $5 million investment by ward, how it's going. But more specifically to that, he can help you respond to that. I will say this, over 98% of the bus routes connect to LRT. Those that have, some have a transfer introduced that they didn't before. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing a bit about I've got a double transfer, in rare cases a triple transfer. Those percentages are very, 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 very tiny, like single digits. And so Pat can help you out on any specifics in that regard.
I understand that, but problem is people are saying they're going to take their car, and because of that, and that's exactly what I don't want to see. Like, we're already congested from the south end. I want fewer cars on those roads, more people on the bus, and ultimately we'll all be a lot happier getting where we want to faster. So I want to explain to these people why they should leave their cars at home, continue to do that, even though they've got a transfer and then a longer distance to walk. So if Pat, I will be talking to you about that, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councilor Meehan. Commissioner Caricato, and then Councilor Blade.
Hi, congratulations. I've been riding it since Saturday. It's a beautiful service. Couple questions about the smell you brought up in your email on Parliament Station. I think I smelt it in Rideau Station yesterday. And I just anecdotally talking to folks that it was there throughout the construction period as well. So just wondering if you've identified what that is and what are you doing to remedy it?
Yes, Parliament, it's there's some moisture in one of the pits at the bottom of the escalators where the steel grates are. RTM has pumped that out. They're using sanitizer in it. I think there's still some moisture that they have to address in there. Rito, the chair, just pointed that out to me. We heard about that this morning. Troy's on that one also, and we're looking at that also.
Great. And finally, if you could just confirm the night service that will be available after October 6th. I've been just playing around here on the website trying to figure out how I would do it, and it just keeps saying, oh, your trip will change after October 6th. So if you could just confirm what the night service will be like. For example, if you're working in the market and you need to get home after 1:30 when the train no longer rides. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair, there will be 6 overnight bus routes that operate at the times that that line 1 is closed for maintenance overnight. Those 6 routes continue the same overnight service that's there today on the different corridors where we do provide 24-hour service. So those 6 routes are route N39 going to Orleans, route N97 going to the south and the airport, route N45 to the hospital complex. Those are all going east from Rideau Station every half hour. Then going west, we have route N75 to Barrhaven, route N57 going to Bayshore, and I believe it's route N61 going to Kanata. All the details of those routes are available on octransport.com.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Councillor Blay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Ridden the bus and the train in 2 of the 3 mornings. Train is very good. I spend twice as much time on the bus getting to the train as I do on the train. So I'm wondering what efforts are going to be made to reduce that time from the neighborhood to the transitway or to the train line.
Chair, I'd be happy to talk to the councillor about where he's traveling from, what experiences he has. Of course, the biggest thing the council has decided to do for that eventuality in the future is to extend the train line to a number of stations in Orleans where all connections from all parts of Orleans can go up to the nearest
bus transfer. I appreciate that, but the travel time from Jeanne d'Arc to Blair on the bus is 4 minutes, right? So it's really from the new communities to the south down to the corridor in the first place. So I'm wondering what transportation measures are going to be taken, transit priority measures, route changes, etc., to increase that speed to the train line itself.
Sorry, councillor, are you asking, is your service delayed, or are you asking us, can we improve things for existing bus service to that transfer point?
Both.
If your service is delayed, we can talk to you about that. If you're looking for improvements of getting bus to that transfer point as part of your budget process, you can certainly direct funds to us if you want transit priority lanes and things like that. It's all in the TMP right now. If there's things in there that you want enhanced, you can certainly talk to me about it. Our mission is as per what council's approved in the transportation master plan, your capital work plans.
Okay. So getting to the transportation master plan, this change in vocabulary around Westboro and Blair is concerning to me this morning because those were always intended to be terminal stations, and stage 1 was procured before stage 2 had even been announced. So I'm wondering, this notion that they're temporary transfer stations or temporary terminal stations, certainly the feedback that I've received is similar to what Commissioner Wright Gilbert expressed. There isn't space on the platform. In the afternoon. In the morning, it's very reasonable. And if Councillor Brockington is correct and your observations about how many people are on the bus still are correct, if we add 30% volume to that, and then you add winter clothing to that, it appears that we're going to experience some big problems there because we already are. Are you sure that the changes for October 6th, October 7th is the real test, the first business day, are going to address that particular issue?
We have our plans. We're adjusting what we've got right now. Our concerns are aligned with yours. That's why we're agreeing with the comments that we've heard here. But that's what we're doing, why we're doing what we're doing, which I outlined in my presentation. If you're looking for comfort, I think you've got a proven track record. Go back 5 years when we were implementing the detours. Everybody said they weren't going to work, and we're going to have problems on Scott Street, and we're going to have problems all over the place. We had one issue at Herdman for 6 hours, and we addressed it as a temporary issue. So we're looking at all those things. I know Pat gave me short, medium, and long-term adjustments to both Herdman and Tunney's this morning, because we're meeting the operational team, executive team is meeting every day, and we're looking at all those. On winter, I can tell you there won't be any snow banks there because we've already pre-planned our winter control plan in those platforms, so there won't be any encroachment into the sidewalk, as an example. And I share that because that's how far into the future we're looking, and that was done months ago, and we just reiterated that this morning. So yes, there'll be an increased volume from those people. Our concerns is the same as yours, and we're taking action to mitigate that. So Pat's looking at some things, and I think he wants to jump in right now. Pat?
Yeah, there's three particular things that will change at both Blair and Tunney's on October 6th that will make the experience different than it has been the first two afternoons. The first is that those afternoon buses that are heading out from Blair to Orleans and to Canastasville and Barrhaven from Tunney's Pasture will actually be originating at that station. They won't be coming through from downtown. Therefore, they won't be affected by any variability caused by traffic congestion through downtown, construction in downtown, or the detours that those buses have been following for the last 5 years. Those buses will be much better able to start their trip on time, and as we talked about earlier, those buses will be empty at that point. They'll be picking up all customers who are waiting. Second, after October 6th, there will be fewer buses circulating through the stations. Right now, those stations are having to support the buses that are going in and looping through on their way downtown and coming in and looping through on their way out from downtown. After the bus route network change, they have to support only the number of buses that are coming into the station, dropping people off, going to wait for their departure time, and then coming to around to pick people up. So the amount of buses circulating inside those terminal areas will go down. And then a third thing is that right now we have to dedicate platform space at those stations to pick up customers who are boarding there and traveling towards downtown. There are people who walk into those stations and choose to travel to downtown by bus as they can. Once we don't have bus service from that point into downtown anymore, that platform space, which we have to reserve and designate for that direction of travel, can then be freed up and reallocated to give more space for people who are on the outbound trips and also to be dropped off in the morning. And that's all been part of the long-term plan that these stations are designed to achieve and that we're now delivering.
Okay. Also, I noticed, thank you for that, this morning, the train stopped at VIA as scheduled, the doors open, you know, VIA's not a busy station. At Ottawa U, the train stopped, the doors didn't open automatically. And so I'm wondering what the calculus is or the determination is on what the stop time at the stations is and when the doors open or not automatically.
That's a very long conversation. We can take you through all that if you like, Chair. In summary, the doors are in automatic mode right now. When we go into colder weather climates, they will open in the underground stations and then be controlled via the operator at the above ground station. That's because you want to keep your heat in and keep passenger comfort and so forth. But happy to brief you on all that. In terms of Ottawa U, I don't know, Troy, if you've got a specific comment as to the door situation, we can look into it on that and get back to you, Councillor. But the whole science on how the doors are timed and sequencing and everything is controlled by the train control system, CBTC system, and so forth.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you, Councillor Blake. Councillor Tierney?
Great.
Anybody else? Sorry, before Councillor Tierney speaks, otherwise this is the last question. We're good? Okay.
Go ahead, thank you very much. So just a couple of quick follow-ups, John, and I just want to follow up because There's some confusion with our senior population, and that's where I'm really concerned about things. Currently, right now, what's the process if they're getting onto a bus? I've heard stories of where they use the web chat at the stations to get themselves onto the trains. But my understanding is they currently can go to Shoppers Drug Mart, get a Presto card. How much are those cards? $8, $6? And then they load it up with the minimum $10 currently, and now they can ride for free on Wednesdays and Sundays. Would that be correct?
Pat will explain that to you.
Yes, that's exactly correct. If customers go to get a Presto card, they can get it at any Shoppers Drug Mart, any Loblaws store, any superstore, any OC Transpo service counter, and certain city client service centers. They have to get a card and ask the agent they're buying the card from to encode it with the senior discount. That's a one-time purchase. If they're only traveling on Wednesdays and Sundays, they are clear forever with that card. We ask customers to tap the card. There's no debit taken from that card if they're entering into a fare gate at an O-Train station, and just show their ID or talk to the operator of a bus when they're getting on. There's no need to tap the card when you get onto a bus. You just say hello to the operator, and the operator will recognize the validity.
Okay, that's great. So how much are those cards right now at Shoppers?
To buy a Presto card is $6.
$6.
Yes.
Do the seniors require the minimum load of the current $10, which is dropping to 5 cents apparently?
The seniors should, so we'll get you the information of how Metrolinx is implementing that policy change.
Yeah.
The seniors can speak to the agent at the service channel where they're buying that card right now to find out what the policy is that that channel is applying.
So I'm just assuming, I hate to use that word, currently it's $6 plus the 10, so 16. So in the new world, and Anne-Marie Atkins from Metrolinx just tweeted back at me saying October 28th, all Presto card systems across the province are going to drop to 5 cents. So it would be $6.05 for a senior versus the current $16 minimum, which
right.
would help us relieve those barriers for seniors. Would that be correct?
Yes. Now, if they have the $10, if they choose to put any stored value on the card, they have the ability to travel on other days as well.
Okay, I think that's very good news, and thanks to Anne-Marie Atkins at Metrolinx for getting back to me on that.
Councillor, just a caution on messaging. I don't know where if you're going to push that out, but it's always good for them to have some money on that card, the $10, or if they can afford it and so forth, because if they're riding on a non-free day, then they have that and they don't get stuck at the gates and so forth.
Right, but I think that, John, in all fairness to our seniors, if $16 doesn't seem like a terrible amount of money, but for a senior on a fixed income, it is. And if they can reduce that to $6.05, I'd like to be able to get that message out to my seniors that may be on fixed income or pension.
Agree 100%.
Thank you, Councillor Tierney. Councillor Brockington brought up a good question. Mr. Manconi, the mail-out, we did a mail-out to every resident before launch date. Is there a neighborhood-specific mail-out that's going out before October 6th, if we could talk about that?
Yes, we have mail-outs that are going again to every household in the entire city or every address in the entire city. That'll be going out next week. They're organized by district of the city, so there's six different parts of the city that are getting customized messages for that area. The first message was, which I think we all saw, was welcome aboard, giving information on the new O-Train and what it does, how to use it, and we'd like you to come see it. The second message is much more specifically oriented to the bus route changes that are coming to all parts of the city on Sunday, October 6th and Monday, October 7th.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so no more questions. Is this item received by the commission? Great. Thank you. Okay. Vice Chair has...
That the Transit Commission received the verbal update and presentation from the General Manager, Transportation Services Department for information.
Received or approved? Thank you.